time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Well, greetings on this Columbus Day. It is Monday, October 8th. Hope you're enjoying the holiday for those of you that have the time off. But the rest of us, it's another day at work. But we do always celebrate our holidays. So happy Columbus Day to all of our listeners. This podcast we have in the Hot Topic segment, Bill Cosgrove, the CEO of Union Home. And he's talking about what he has done and his commitment to Empower, which is the organization within the MBA. I guess it's separate from the MBA, but it's affiliated closely, that Marsha Davies started, that talks about supporting women. It's creating and promoting and creating opportunities for women in the marketplace, specifically in mortgage lending. And I am all about this. I think it's having been the father of a daughter, and Alan's got daughters, Andy's got two daughters, so we're all interested in our daughters. Not all of them are in the mortgage industry, but we want to do what we can to promote women in the marketplace and promote the leadership that some are bringing to the industry. And hopefully after our podcast today, our interview with Bill, others will be considering about what they can do in their organization to bring greater opportunity to the women of their companies and those that they'll be joining them. So be sure to listen to the Hot Topics segment later on in the podcast. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. We're grateful to have you as our listener. Again, our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. There is an upcoming conference, the MBA conference. I'll be there. We're going to be doing a podcast from the event in Washington, D.C. We're going to be at the Empower event. We'll be doing recording interviews there. And then next week's podcast will go off as normal. We're bringing together and pre-recording many aspects of it because many of us are going to be at the conference involved in meetings. But tune in. We've got an interview next week that's really exciting. We'll tell you about that at the end of the podcast. I want to say a special thank you out to many of those that are part of the podcast. I mean, Andy, Alice, Alan, Joe, and so many that make this podcast content so rich. Many people keep coming back and listening. To the tune of over 100,000 listeners, regular listeners, we're grateful to have you as listeners. We're also grateful for our sponsors. The first one I'll mention today is the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. Great partnership with them. Andy does a lot of webinars for them and does a lot, and there's many webinars out there. It's the trade association that we should all become members of. And if you're not a member of it, you should be. But if you're not, you also always need to be a member of Mortgage Action Alliance, which is a part of the MBA, and it's being able to have our voice heard legislatively. And you can be a member of the Mortgage Action Alliance without even being a member of the MBA. Check out their app, Mortgage Action Alliance, and you can have it on your Android and your iPhone, any of your smartphone devices. You can do so or do it from your website. Also, say thank you to Jim Jump and David Gansberg and everyone there at ArchMI. I'm grateful for them and our partnership with them. They are the creator of the Innovative RateStar program. Also, Black Knight, the leading provider of integrated software and data analytics. We've had a number of guests on recently from Black Knight, and I encourage you to go back and listen to those podcasts. One of the ones that still gets downloaded so much is the one with Sufi Safafi and Rich Gagliano. That one is still getting downloaded like crazy. And joining that is last week's interview with Tyler Sherman. Great job they did on all of that. Also, a special thank you to Scott Gordon and the team at Open Mortgage for being a sponsor of the podcast. If you're looking for a way to get more income in the door, folks, check into Reverse Mortgages. And the biggest buyer of Reverse Mortgages is Open Mortgage, and also the home of some of the top LOs. They take care of their LOs. Check it out. Some of the top paid people are in that company. Open Mortgage. Check it out. Also, a special thank you to the two co-ops that we're a part of, the Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. Both of these organizations help you create competitive advantages by being able to get up close and personal and having intimate relationships with each of the members and the vendors within these entities, within these co-ops. Two great co-ops, two great partnerships, and we're grateful for both of them. We have many of our clients and listeners that are a member of not just one, but both of them. So I encourage you to check them out. Velma, the efficient mortgage marketing email platform, grateful for them. That's how we get our word out to many of you. If you're not signed up to get our e-alerts, get a hold of us. We'll get you on the Velma platform that allows you to get updates on that. Check it out, velma.com. Brent Emler and the team do a great job. Also, Knowledge Cube. One of the reasons we're excited about our partnership with them, they do some of the best interviews and the best videos that are on the market. Check it out at knowledgecoop.com. Have a little more on that later, as well as Predictive, helping lenders connect with consumers through pay-per-click marketing strategies. Very affordable and amazingly effective. I've already thanked Alice, Andy, Joe, and Alan for their participation. So thank you all again for being here with us. So let's take a moment, run over to listen to what Rob Van Raphorst have with the MBA Mortgage Minute.
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, MBA submitted a comment letter on the pass-through deduction provisions contained within the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act enacted late last year. MBA requested that the final regulations provide certainty for the taxpayers, which would not only reflect Congress's intent in enacting this provision, but also make the rules easier for taxpayers to implement and for the IRS to administer. Also last week, the FHA released a mortgagee letter announcing changes to the appraisal requirements for its HECM program. The changes focus on ensuring that the initial appraisal values assigned to the HECM properties are accurate. FHA will now perform a risk assessment of appraisals on all of the program's originations. And finally, mortgage rates were flat last week and remained unchanged from 1 week earlier. Be sure to join us October 14th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for MBA's annual convention. You are not going to want to miss it. That's it for this week on MBA's Mortgage Minute.
Good job, Rob. Love that. Look forward to seeing him and others there and all of our friends at the MBA annual conference in Washington, D.C. at the Convention Center. I want to say something about one of the conferences coming up. I'll be speaking at the Airport Hilton, Oakland Airport Hilton. Boy, talk about getting that mumbled up in my mouth. We'll be doing the Mortgage Expo. It's the last one of the year that I'll be speaking at. Check it out, mortgage conferences. Go to the California Mortgage Expo. Download the information. Find out when I'm speaking. Love to see you there. We have had some amazing conferences this year. I love what Vince is doing, Benfalvo and the team, and looking forward to it. Kind of one of those sad things, because it's just been so much fun to do these, and yet it's just like it's taken a lot of time. So I'm not going to be doing quite as many as I did this year. I won't be doing them next year quite with the same amount of regularity, but we can continue to wish them success in what they're doing. I want to talk a moment about the digital business card. I talk about it more and more frequently on this podcast because it's so important that people find ways to market themselves digitally and more effectively. If you check out our website at Lincoln on Lending, go to the digital business card. I believe it's in the upper right-hand corner of the website. It shows you what you can do in communicating your message. We are having phenomenal success. Think about it. You meet someone. You're going to hand them a business card, something that every one of your competitors do, or you can take a picture of their business card, upload it, and immediately text them your digital business card. And in that, you have the links to your website, important products that you're offering. You can put up testimonials about what your clients or your customers, their experience with your company is what I'm trying to say. So it's a great way to have everything all bundled together. And the nicest part of this is when your card gets shared, you find out about it. And so hand out one piece of paper that most likely get thrown away. The longest most people hold on their business cards is 7 days. This is the future, and I encourage you to check it out. Great way to get your message out, the digital business card. Check it out at our website. Les Parker is out with another update. I love listening to these, and now I'm listening to them in advance because they sent them over, and we've uploaded it. And here's Les Parker with the TM Spotlight soundbite. Les?
TM Spotlight soundbite is brought to you by Loan Logic. They're hot, then they're cold. They're on, then they're off. They're in, then they're out. They're up, then they're down. U.S. GDP data are hot, then they're cold. Last week, they shifted to hot. Risk on and not risk off. Italy was out, now it's in. Related markets that impact U.S. interest rates are up and down. European calm, good U.S. economic news, strong oil, and firm wages support the bears. This environment hurts mortgage bankers. Low margins, unscalable back offices, and antiquated risk management might lead to mortgage servicing rights selling. Expect the 10-year Treasury note bears to focus on reaching a 360 yield. Do the bears really want to stay? These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
And something he did not mention is that newsletter is free. So check it out, tmspotlight.com. Sign up for it. Les's newsletter. You'll understand more about what he's talking about, some of this great information to have. Well, let's run over to Scott Gordon with the Science of Sales. I love this, what he's doing on this. So here's a new, fresh off the press segment, the Science of Sales.
What's your story? We live in the information age. Anything you wish to know is just a Google search away. Information, however, is not knowledge and does not lead to understanding. Stories are what lead us to understanding and make sense of a chaotic world. To many of our customers and partners, the mortgage process is chaos. Agents, FSBOs, titles, closing, credit scores, debt-to-income ratios, appraisals, and inspections. Ever have a confused customer barrage you with questions? Answer a question only to have another and another thrown your way? Your customer is looking at the pieces, not the whole picture. This is your opportunity to tell a story. Storytelling increases information retention and understanding up to 70%, as opposed to a 5 to 10% retention from facts and information not woven together into the form of a story. In the coming messages, I'll be giving you the essential elements you need in order to craft the best stories for your customers and for you. If this sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
Good job, Scott. I love these. These segments are educational, informative, but check it out more of what they have on their website at openmortgage.com. Again, if you want to boost your income, start doing reverse mortgages, start doing them through their wholesale division, or better, just join the company, start doing it direct. It's good to have everyone here with us. Joe Farr is dialed in. Good to have you here with us, Joe.
Hi, Dave.
You know,
hi,
I'm up here, and I'm looking at MBS Quote Line's website. It is concise and to the point. It's got everything. It's a real quick glance of what's happening.
It really is.
It's very effective. So give us, give us your thoughts on what we've got.
It's been very helpful as far as, you know, coming back in and figuring out, like, I was on vacation a week ago, and it's just a real nice, easy way to relate movement to events and understand what's causing rates to move. Hopefully help you explain things to your customers.
Yes.
Right now it's not showing anything because the bond market's closed. But the stock market's open, and kind of interesting, stocks opened a bit lower this morning in reaction to an easing by China's central bank. Growth in China slowed, and you know, the effect of the tariffs are being felt. And as a result of slowing growth and the tariffs, China has, for the fourth time, eased its reserve requirements on its banks in order to make money easier to get and hopefully stimulate their slowing economy. Well, the fact that they need to do that was tough on Chinese stocks, and that carried over to the U.S. and other world markets. And so we're seeing a drop in the stock market. Back to the bond market, last week was another tough week for MBS prices and therefore mortgage rates. MBS prices fell about 1% last week, and that resulted in about a 15 basis point increase in the actual rate. Most of that increase came on Wednesday. And it came out following pretty strong economic data. ADP came out first, showing a big gain in jobs created. You know, that's not the more significant of the two events. That came out at 8:15. Then at 10, the ISM Services Index came out. And this is an index measuring economic activity in the non-manufacturing areas of our economy. And it reached a record, it recorded a record growth, way exceeded expectations. And, you know, if you look to the fundamentals of what drives interest rates, strong economic activity generally creates increase in demand, and that increases prices, and that increases inflation. So that's the reason we've seen an increase over the last month or so of mortgage rates. We're just seeing stronger economic activity. I mean, those are, are good, good reasons for rates to rise.
Yes, we'll accept those.
Rates rose a little bit on Friday as well, following the non-farm payrolls numbers. The numbers were somewhat mixed, and the immediate reaction was small. There was a downside miss on new jobs in September, but that was somewhat offset by, or almost entirely offset by, a big favorable revision to the prior month. Unemployment fell to 3.7. That's the lowest it's been in 40 years.
40 years.
Wage gains for the 12 months ended September were 2.8%, and that's equal to what it was last month, and but a little below expectations. Expectations call for a 2.9% annual wage increase. The immediate reaction was small, but as the day wore on and people started analyzing the September jobs being impacted by Hurricane Florence, they began to believe that it was really a pretty solid jobs report again. So, going back to those fundamentals, better economic activity means rates are going to go up. And that's what happened during the day on Friday. Now, looking at this week, Dave, inflation data is going to be front and center. First off is the producer price index is going to come out on Wednesday. That's the lesser of the two measures that are coming out. The more important one is the consumer price index that's going to come out on
Thursday.
Jolt's report comes out on Thursday as well. 10-year Treasury auction is Wednesday. You know, it and the 30-year auction could cause some movement in MBS prices. There are Fed speakers just about every day this week, and you know, people are always looking for new hints as to any changes in how the Fed might view the economy and the need for rising rates. You know, recently Fed Chairman Powell made a comment that drove rates higher. His comment had to do with the fact that he felt like the Fed was far from reaching what's called a neutral rate. A neutral rate is a rate at which it neither stimulates nor constricts the economy. So that being said, investors are looking at the short end at least going up maybe more than what was previously felt. So always pay attention to those Fed speakers. And that's my report for the day. For the week.
Good job. There's the various services we use. MBS Quote Line is one of the ones I look for the quick glance. I use Barry Habib's space, the MBS Highway. I look at different ones out there. There's great services out there, but I just want to give a shout out to the folks at MBS Quote Line for how concise to the point it is. Really appreciate it. Joe, looking forward to seeing you later on, my friend. Knowledge Coop is one of the companies that we are grateful to have as a sponsor. They do a great job of getting training material done for you. So if you have not signed up or at least gone out, checked them out, you need to do so. So let's go listen to our good friend Nathan at Knowledge Coop. Nathan, what you got?
At the Knowledge Coop, we work hard to create training that engages and encourages our audience. Once people are engaged in training, they are more likely to stay focused and retain the information that they need to know. So here's your training tip for the week. Next time you have an important policy or bit of knowledge you need to train, do it in short clips and make sure you sprinkle it in with a little bit of humor. Video training is highly impactful, but only when done in the way we've been conditioned through TV. Videos should be no more than 5 minutes, should get to the point, and humor should be sprinkled through to emphasize the important points. Memories are more powerful when attached to an emotion. If you need help with your company's training, please reach out to us at knowledgecoop.com, and we'd be happy to assist. And that's your training minute from the Knowledge Coop, which strives for easy and fun training for the mortgage industry powered by a smart digital platform.
Yeah, that digital platform is pretty cool, too, and they got a great training material, and you should be looking at using them for your company. I want to say a special thank you to Alice Alvey. She's under the weather today. She is like the Energizer Bunny goes so strong, but they had their celebration. I'm wondering if she overdid it when they had their gala, but I know she's trying to get up and feeling better because she is going to be at the Empower event on Saturday, introducing some of the people that will be speaking there, as Union Home, again, is a big sponsor of the program. So she's in the process of nursing herself back to health. Not a lot of great news. Of course, all the focus last week was on Kavanaugh and what was going on with his confirmation. And what a lot of drama that was. My goodness sakes. But anyway, Alice sends her greetings and says she'll look forward to seeing many of you at the conference. And then also, we'll be back next week. Special thank you goes out to Jim Jump, the Innovative Rate Star program. Jim?
Hi, David. ArchMI is happy to be a proud sponsor of the program. Today, I'd like to let your listeners know about RateStar from Arch Mortgage Insurance. RateStar makes it easy to choose what type of mortgage insurance coverage your loan needs. Quotes are delivered in seconds and represent our most competitive ArchMI rates based on the strength and quality of the loan application. That's the power of RateStar. Getting a mortgage insurance quote has never been so powerful or so simple. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, David.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. Alan, good to have you on the podcast. You did some good play on your downloads here, man. I've got some content coming out to us from the digital conference and then some of your recent comments. You're getting some good play. Good tough. I really like it. All the listeners are loving it. What you got for us today?
Well, as promised last week, I said we talk about build versus buy. There's a lot of ways you can take that conversation, but I think it's quite an important topic. I think it's fair to say that almost all of our organizations are under some type of digital transformation. And there's a lot of industry content around what it is we should be doing. There was an article, I don't know if we mentioned it, David, Fannie Mae put it out. It's called Now is the Time to Adopt Digital Mortgage Technology. And it talks about a couple things. Most importantly, digital experiences and other businesses have increased the demand for digital resources in our industry. While it's complex, we know that we have to answer to that demand. Lenders are recognizing that the demand, our lenders, Fannie Mae, has surveyed them and we're saying that, hey, it's citing that consumers are facing technology as their priority. So lenders are focusing not only on the back end of the transaction, but as we know, all of that consumer touch. And homeowners also crave a human touch. So there is a fine line or a unique mix of how do we answer that digital demand, but how do we also still provide that human touch? And it continues to talk about the actual results of the survey. So there were about 3,000 home buyers included in the survey, and overall borrowers stated that they wanted less paperwork. 27% a reduction in paperwork, 20% said they want it easier to shop and compare for information, and 16% said they want less back and forth. And of the 3,000, 66% are interested in a fully digital process. You know what I find unique, by the way? Of all the surveys that we talk about in these different podcasts, as well as that we talk about in the industry, is if you remember, we went from where it was consumer direct, where you get immediate access to speak with somebody, to the time where you can get rates online. And now we've gone to these digital borrower empowerment type of experiences. But what we've left out of the equation is the ability to get rates right away. Right. So now we take people into this experience. So I did find some information that supported, you know, my opinion on that. So where am I going with all this? Right. Well, if you're not engaged in the transformation just yet, you're about to. And remember, it's not just about the front end of the transaction, but it's also about spending money on our transformation to better align software advancements and business objectives and needing to balance our immediate needs really versus our long term goals. What are we trying to solve in the future of the performance of our company? And that brings us to, right, how do we compare build versus buy? So I've been looking all over the internet, surveys and different content. I've been looking at my prior experience. David, you've got lots of experience.
Yeah, lots and of really, experience. I've done both.
That's right. And you, by the way, we've seen people have a lot of challenges here. So what I found is kind of interesting. A lot of surveys focus on the technology projects. And most show that without the proper planning and resources, along with the business alignment, most of these projects fall short of their goals or even making it to market. And does this sound familiar? A date for the go live of our software has been met. Some training has been set. And folks learning about the process now have brought up concerns about existing processes that they feel work just fine today or that important steps in the new system are missing. Right? We've heard that many times.
Right.
Well, the end result, It's not uncommon. Teams continue to rally to realign. The product may go to a beta group to market, and then many bugs and issues are found. And in the end, we don't get the actual product or the expected result. Some of the reasons for that are as follows. Number one that I found across all these different surveys are that every project lacks true CEO or executive leadership sponsorship. The projects are not missioned as an enterprise-wide endeavor. Lack of focus, which really comes from that. People are engaged in the beginning and they fall back afterwards. Really lack of proper project management. I even found a lot of surveys that talked about project management before CEO sponsorship. Alignment of the strategy and technology. The what and the how, the talent. Do we have the right people? Not just to build the software, but to test the software, right? To manage the deployment, to manage the servers. Lack of change management, right? Scope creep is something we all deal with. And then, you know, did you build it scalable? And that's the complex nature of building it your own. But the complex nature of actually managing or working with buying technology, selecting the right vendor is very hard. There's a risk of data, right? There's a risk of where is your data going and is it secure? And there's roadmap risk.
Boy, there's,
influence to, that's right, to accomplish your needs, flexibility, integration support. So there's a fine line that exists. And should you be ready to expand your team and look to build, here are a couple quick things that you should really consider. Time and resources. On average, it takes about a year with a ready-to-go team, the right developers and the right skill sets to roll out new software solutions. And remember, David, that's broad. That's when you have all the pieces in play. You have the right people, you have the right analysis, right? And it depends on what you're releasing. But 1 year, I think, is a good number. It's like a home remodel project, right? You're going to incur all types of gotchas and challenges in the process. So what is your real time to market? That's the most important question before you consider the cost, before you consider the ROI to the market. Can you get to market within a reasonable amount of time? The next is cost. You know, it's not just about building the software, but it's about planning the QA process. What is your total cost of ownership? And vendors show you exactly what your cost is up front. So is that cost tangible to you, or would you rather build and have that flexible variable? The third is features and functionality. How much of that out of the box is available if you were to partner or buy something compared to what you need to build? And based on what they have, is there that freedom and flexibility that you need to customize? And then off the shelf to meet every need, but is it too rigid? And then, David, there's just one or two more here. Knowledge and expertise. You know, do you have the right know-how to build? It goes back with the having the right team and the right people.
That's almost rhetorical. That's almost a rhetorical question.
And you know what I noticed? That's right. And out of all these different surveys, you know what every survey misses or every article misses? They miss the uniqueness of different markets. They talk too broad and too generally. You know, the mortgage industry is changing every single day. And they don't talk about
dynamic.
The compliance, the risk of having your data stored on different servers. And so, anyways, it's a great topic. If you Google it, there's tons of resources.
Yep. One question that just came in. We got to wrap this up. So you get the last point. Well, one question is, do you have any idea what percentage of people are building or buying? It seems to me the vast majority are choosing to buy. I'm not hearing a lot of initiatives on the build side of it. Any sense for that? And then give you your last point, and we got to wrap it up.
Great question. The answer is more people are buying, but I will tell you there's something that I call roadmap risk, which is that too many people or certain people influence a roadmap. So you buy software and then you're stuck with what they have and you can't make changes for your business. And I'm also seeing that a lot of lenders are building middleware. So they're integrating, but they're holding some of the keys to the castle. And so they're doing some build with some buy.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think that the cost of building these days is ridiculously high. I can't imagine anyone's going to take that on, but it's a good point. At least it should be up for consideration, discussion. Appreciate it, bud.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being
here,
and appreciate the opportunity to have you back next week. See you in D.C. as well. Looking forward to that.
Yep, see you all in NBA. Thanks.
You bet, man. Let's run over to Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor, the ROI guy. One kind of word to me is the ROI guy. So anyway, good to have you here, Fred.
Do you know that today in Anchorage, Alaska, and in all of Alaska, it is not Columbus Day? In Alaska today, it is Alaska Day. Because Columbus did not discover a trade route to Alaska.
Oh, that's funny. That's amazing.
Yep.
Well, you being a former Alaskan person yourself in the mortgage business up there and consulted all and lived up there for years. How many years did you live up there in Alaska? Long, long time.
I was about six in the late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah, it's a really pretty place, no question about it. I got to work with Eskimos and build intercontinental ballistic missile silos, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that just cracks me up. And he went from there to mortgage banking because you just were used to burning up. You probably burned up all your brain cells on that, but now you're going for your PhD here, so let's get an update from the PhD himself. Andy Schell.
Well,
thank you, bud.
As you know, I started in banking in 78, so it's been I've been in mortgage lending all my career except for that little bit with the federal contracting. But
and there's so many great stories from there, though. It's the parallels that you bring in. It's just – it's just, what an opportunity. So
well, cash flows, cash flows, revenue is revenue, efficiency is efficiency, yeah. Scale economies are scale. I mean, all these principles of economics that are applied out to finance and accounting that then get deployed in business management as KPIs are all the same. I mean, it's all the same no matter what industry you're in. So we launched our accounting webinar this past week, Dave. It was greatly received. It's gone very well. Some of the essential topics.
Robert, how long? This is your 8th, 9th, 10th one? How many times have you done this?
We've done it a lot. It's going very well. We're really grateful to the MBA for their platform. But it's going very well, and it's kind of just – It's built the foundation for people who've been in the industry a long time to understand the next level, the most advanced stuff that's happening, and for new people coming in to be able to understand some of the details around the things that are happening. So we cover low-level profitability, the 90-day cash flow forecast, how to add a new branch, how do you do that when you're trying to grow, and how do you avoid insolvency when you think you're making a bunch of money because you've overvalued the derivative asset. So there's just all these details that make things difficult to understand sometimes. So we're covering all that. We have 4 more weeks to go, and then we start our servicing sessions. So anyway, it's an ongoing thing. But we're happy to have people join and talk about how to measure your money. How much is enough? How do you know you did it right? And so to that end, we've had a rough year. A lot of people are struggling through this year with reduced volume, margin compression, on and on. So as we turn the corner and heading into October now, and we think about the downturn in volume that's normal for this time of year, we look at Joe was just talking about the short term is rising, the 10-year treasury is up, which means mortgage affordability is dropping. So how do we stay in business till next May? You know, I ask that question every year. I talk about having a financial forecast to make sure we don't have surprises, but it's really a serious thing. We better know what we can do and how to get there. And we've got to have a forecast, an honest forecast. We need to do an honest forecast and completely ignore the derivative asset. Don't put any value on it. And then when we look at our business, we kind of need to take a step back, do the Dave Licken, take a step back, get a big overview and go, what are we good at? We need to retrench around our core competency, because if you can do what you do best, then you're going to excel. If you try to do all these other tangential things that you're just okay at, it's likely they'll pull you down. That's why you got to get experts. But we've got to identify what we're best at and then save it. And so we have to be honest about what we can do to generate revenue. And that's what's going to be the future of our business. Now, we want to know all this stuff before we get our warehouse line pulled. If our revenue starts to dropping and our capital starts to drop, the warehouse line lenders are going to be calling and knocking at the door. And as much as they would hate it, they're going to start reducing your warehouse line and potentially even pull it if you start violating liquidity covenants. So we don't want any of that to happen. So let's be proactive about sorting out what are we really good at and how are we going to be here next year. And so I'll give a quick example, and I hate to even mention this, but I think we need to be honest about the industry, honest about our future, honest about the next six months, because if we can't survive it through there, you know, we're just going to have a bad thing happen in the wintertime. So if you're really great at origination, but you're too small to have economy of scale. Economy of scale just means when marginal costs are minimized. So that's when you're most profitable. But you have to have size to get there. So if you're not able to get to that size, then how can you preserve an origination platform without all the costs associated with the operations activity? And so this is the part where I cringe to even say this. This is like, you know, you pulled the first parachute string and it didn't work, so now you got to pull your second parachute string.
That's a great analogy.
So this is a last ditch effort, but again, what are you good at? Where's your core competency? Let's assume we've got an origination platform. Let's assume we're not big enough to have economy of scale. Let's assume that our costs are greater than our revenue. You know, you can back off and come back and become a broker. Shut down the origination operations, shut down the operations, keep origination, be originator, have a processor, and deliver it in to the big, big companies who have wholesale operations. And you know what they do have? They have economies of scale. So you can actually make more and spend less in the broker environment. And, you know, I hate saying that because I'm so much a lender advocate. But it's all hands on deck. Everybody start grabbing the buckets and start bailing.
Yeah, but you and I are both survivor advocates more than just me. I mean, it's like sticking with the boat that's sinking. I mean, you need to get off and get into something new to be able to stay alive. And I think for many, that's the thing. We're seeing a tremendous trend in our consulting firm. I know you are too. I believe this is why you're bringing it up, where there is a tremendous trend towards giving up the banker licenses and the approvals and going back to being just a broker, which is their core competency. We're seeing a real trend in this with many, many lenders, especially as you look at the third quarter results will be coming out. Fourth quarter, it looks like over half of the industry is going to lose money in the fourth quarter, and that may be true for the third quarter. That's what we're hearing from many, many sources. So not a study, but we'll see where it comes in at. Fascinating.
And the key point, Dave, is you want to remain the master of your destiny. If you wait too long to do stuff, other people make decisions for you. Your investors cut you off. Your warehouse line lenders cut you off. So you're continuing to lose money. You have insolvency. You can't make payroll. You don't let those things happen, but you can only prevent those things by being proactive about your future. Stay in charge. Make the decisions that need to be made.
Yep. Someone just texted us. Hard to hear, but is the truth. Nene, we're in that decision process right now. Pay attention to the wisdom in this segment. That is just really good stuff, Andy. And I appreciate you very much. Looking forward for your wisdom next week. Appreciate you and all you do for our industry there at MBS. So
if you want to contact me, so andy@mbs-team.com.
Yep, very good. Appreciate it so much, Andy, for being here. Appreciate you and our partnership. Another partnership we've got is Black Knight. Very grateful for our partnership with them. So let's get a word from them, especially as we get ready to head into the conference.
As housing prices climb, U.S. homeowners are holding more capital equity than ever before. Effectively capturing the equity market could pose a unique challenge for lenders who may be limited by the capabilities of their current loan origination system or consumer lending platform. Lenders looking to streamline their home equity business processes can benefit from Black Knight's LoanSphere Empower loan origination system. Using this robust and intelligent technology, Empower can originate both first mortgages and home equity loans on the same system. This single configurable solution will help lenders improve margins, support regulatory requirements, and enhance customer satisfaction. To learn more about Empower, visit blackknightinc.com today.
Folks, I am excited to have one of the leaders of our industry here with me talking about a very important topic, Empower. It is the movement within the mortgage banking industry that was started by Marcia Davies to really create opportunity, encourage women in our industry to grow. And of course, it requires sponsorship, it's required partnership, and it's required leadership. And my guest today is Bill Cosgrove, and he has provided just that. Bill, good to have you on the program.
Thank you, David. It's really a pleasure and honor to be here. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate what you've done and the leadership you've already provided the industry. And Bill, I just got a feeling that you're not done. There's a lot more ahead of leadership that you're bringing to the industry. But let's start, first of all, talking about Union Home and some of the success. This industry is struggling. There's a lot of people having to do layoffs, and there's a lot of people that are not making money in this. And they're kind of figuring out what's going on over at Union Home. Why are they doing so well? What's the key to your success, Bill?
Well, you know, David, it's interesting. So there's no doubt that, you know, after a, 10-year run in the business, and normally in normal times, we would have had two maybe minor housing recessions in there. We didn't, due to QE1 and QE2, where the Fed, you know, reduced interest rates to all-time lows,
right,
which really I agreed with the strategy. I think the strategy worked and worked well. However, you know, it creates this this 10-year boom that there were no down cycles. And so now we're facing a down cycle in the business. And, you know, it was inevitable. In some ways, it may be healthy. It's painful. But there's no doubt that there's overcapacity in the industry. And those of us who run businesses need to adjust to that overcapacity. I think some of us were more prepared for that overcapacity. than others. You're seeing some of that play out today.
Well, it's certainly happening, and you guys are one of the survivors and thrivers in this market, and yet it is, you know, it's pain even for those that are doing well and even prepared. Is the one, if you were to talk to other CEOs right now, and you, by the way, for those of you who don't know, listeners, Bill's the one that started the Independent Mortgage Bankers Initiative inside of the MBA, and it's been so important. I applaud you for that. But if you're to talk to those today, stand on a platform, and you've got a lot of them listening to you right now through our podcast, what would you say is the number one thing that they need to be doing right now to go through these times and right the ship and be successful and not only survive but thrive?
You know, I think it comes back to there's no magic. And I think it comes back to old-fashioned mortgage banking economic fundamentals. It's the cost of acquiring talent. It's what you pay that talent. It's looking at the bonus structures and some of the scale structures. And I think what happened, and we all fell prey to this to a certain extent, David, some more than others, where there were years and multiple years that we hadn't seen before where you could drive a Mack truck through the margins in the business.
Yes, you
and
could.
If right. And so if you built your performa on those margins and you created bonus structures on those margins and you justified what you said yes to cost structure on those margins, those decisions are coming home to roost today. And I think knowing that, you know, the margins today, although are historically low and they're a problem, they're closer to the reality than what was for that 3 or 4 year run. So I think for Union Home, obviously we've grown at a very good pace. We've continued to grow through the downturn. There's been other companies grow much faster than us. A lot of companies, however, have really grown slower than us. But I think what we've done is we've kept the discipline, the economic discipline, to run the business on what are normal margins, even when, you know, the margins were, as I said, the, you know, drive through the Mack truck margins. Right. And I think that philosophy, in maybe those, you know, the old fashioned Midwest values of not getting out in front of the tips of your skis, those are in a boom market, others may pass us, but in normalized markets and in a down market is where those disciplines pay off in multiples. And I think that's where Union Home is today, where we're profitable, we're very profitable. And even in today's margins, And as others, you know, unfortunately, and I really mean that, have to play defense, you know, our offense is even more effective. But it's disciplined offense, and it's offense within the fundamentals of mortgage banking and fundamentals that play in all four seasons in our business. And I think that's probably the answer, David.
That is so true. We look at those that season the easy money flowing and you recruit top talent, but you overpay for it. And then there's the downside of overpaying for top talent. And you have top talent in there, but you're doing it and you draw them in because of your organization. And I want to talk about the women talent you brought in. As you know, Alice Alvey and I, I couldn't believe when you pulled her out of training, her love of being traveling around and doing that, and you brought her in, and she's one of the women leaders, and I think in our industry, she's so good at communication, and I was so impressed that you pulled her in. Not surprised because you guys are an organization of talent, but she is really top talent. And I look at what you
she
did,
is.
And I want to talk about what it is that you see the opportunities for women in the marketplace. Because this podcast is being played the Monday before we have the Saturday Empower event in DC, and so I want to speak to that. That's what we're dedicating the comments, the rest of this podcast to. So, you know, what are the opportunities for women in the marketplace, especially as on the upper side of our industry at the C-suite, the SVP and VP roles? Talk about that.
I will. I'm going to start with a story. And I think the story really tells the motivation and where it comes from. And it's interesting that I grew up, my mother was a full Italian, although Cosgrove is not an Italian name. My mother was full-blooded Italian, as they say, in the old country. And my Italian grandmother that I was very, very close to lost her husband in 1941 at the age of 29 years old. She had four children. She had four daughters, my mother being 3 months old when her father died. And in 1941, probably wasn't a lot of opportunities for women in business at that point. My grandmother raised four children, my mother being the baby, and she did it with the assistance of the government. My mother grew up in housing projects, very clean ones, and very, you know, the people had pride in their apartments and in their units. And my grandmother passed away in the year 2000 in 1988, or I'm sorry, at 88 years old in the year 2000.
Okay.
And to the end of her life, she lived in a housing project that was a wonderful, wonderful place. And her and I were very, very close, as she was to all her grandchildren. My mother had a wonderful life. She died 3 years ago, as you know. You and I have talked about this.
Yes, we have.
And my mother ended up, she worked a lot of manufacturing jobs. And as she got an older in life, and those before the last 15 years of her life, she was actually domestic help for families and was a nanny and loved that, loved being in a house and loved people and was wonderful. And so those two women, my grandmother and my mother, along with my grandmother Cosgrove, they didn't have the opportunities in life from a business standpoint that they should, although their world was blessed with close family and raised us and so forth. So I think for me, I have to tell the story of who I am and where I come from to really answer the question. And with that being said, the answer is what I've learned about women in business is naturally, even with the best intentions, David, the opportunities do not come the same for women as they do men, naturally. Even in the best intentions business, the opportunities are not the same. So what I've learned...
Yeah, go ahead. What you've learned. I'm interested.
No,
I have a couple questions about that.
I don't actually know the answer for that other than the fact that, I don't know why. I think it's been evolving over, 50 years.
Yes.
It's better. But I think naturally, they don't happen equally, just naturally.
Right. And I think, I keep coming to this, is it because of a lack of opportunity? Is it a lack of believing in ourselves? And I think what's happening, why I'm so excited about Empower and what Marcia and the whole team is doing is the fact that they're encouraging women and supporting each other to believe in themselves, to step up to those. Because I think you're one of the examples, and that's what I want to get to. You were one of the first sponsors when Marcia announced that she was going to do Empower. So it's so fitting that we'd honor you on this podcast and have you be the example out to many of your male peer counterparts in the industry, saying open the door, not only open the door, but encourage it to happen. So you were one of the first ones, and you saw that need and that opportunity. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about what that means and looks like in your organization and what you're doing to nurture that without pushing down men, but lifting up women. And how's that balance going? How are you doing that?
Well, it's interesting is as Marcia, and this is all to Marcia's credit, as Marcia was bringing Empower to the mortgage industry and to the Mortgage Bankers Association, at the same time, Union Home, we were getting our footing with our intern program at the time. And what I saw, just wonderful young people, 19 to 22-year-old people, I saw young men, right? Young men, kids, so to speak, that had all kind of bravado and all kind of, you know, they had confidence, but not always the talent to back up the confidence.
Yeah.
And then I saw, you know, so this was going on as Marcia was talking about, you know, Empower. And at the same time, I saw all of a sudden we've got 75, you know, interns, just fantastic young people that we picked out of hundreds. And I saw the young ladies, the kids that had wonderful talent off the chart, but maybe at the same time didn't have the confidence level that they needed, right?
Yes,
and so it's funny, David, at the same time that we were experiencing this and really trying to hone in our skills of being a great company for interns, Marcia comes with this opportunity with Empower. And at the same, so at that point, I realized that you, not by holding down men whatsoever, but in order to develop female talent to the point that companies of today's world need, you needed to develop a program to support women, give them confidence, give them the ability, you know, to be promoted, talk to them, coach them, have a mentor program. That's where someone like Alice Alvey is just a shining star of a mentor to young women. And it's really just creating that type of environment where women are supported from a business standpoint in a way, you know, that helps cultivate them as leaders of an organization. And if companies do that, it doesn't happen naturally. Can't tell you why. Even in the best of cultures, David, that doesn't happen naturally. You need to create that. And that's what I've learned from Marcia and Empower, and it's working at Union Home. We could always do better. We've got a long way to go.
Yeah, well, talk about you're doing well, but talk about what you're doing well now and what things you've learned that other CEOs, other business leaders can do in their organization. Give us some examples of exactly what you're doing. Is it taking time out? Is it extra training program? I mean, or is it having one-on-one mentors with the female leaders, the women leaders you have already in your organization? Are they mentoring? Are you investing more time? How are you going about that? The practical, day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month stuff.
It's all that. It's everything you just mentioned. It's a mentor program. It's education through, you know, Union University, we call it, through Union University. It's a mentoring program. It's an educational program. We always, anytime we have MBA conferences that we go to, an MBA conference, other conferences that we attend, we make sure that we bring a lot of females to it to develop them, to network with other females. We make sure we have not just the senior management attend conferences and events. We bring our young rising talent, and we make sure that a majority, if not, you know, half of that talent we bring are female. So it's really everything. It's a combination, you know, of all those activities, David, that, you know, over time make a difference.
But it has to be intentional. You intentionally set out to make this an important initiative inside of your organization. And now we understand what inspired you, your grandmother and your mother, and how well they worked and the opportunities they did not have that you're creating for others there. You're bringing a large group to the – I was talking to Alice, and she says, you know, I can't believe this. Bill is flying a whole bunch of people from his organization just in for the Empower event. Talk about – that is putting money behind your commitment. Man, that's great.
You know, when you have very talented young people, young females, you know, less than 5 years out of college, and think about it, you know, you take them to an MBA convention or any other type of workshop, but especially Empower, and they get, you know, to spend 3 or 4 days with Alice, with people like Marcia Davies, other leaders, you know, whether it's Deb Still, meeting a Deb Still from Pulte Homes. You could just go on and on with the female leaders of our industry. And so to take young people from Union Home and take them to that Empower event and meet other executives from all over the country that are really willing to give of their time and attention, you know, that opportunity is worth gold. It's worth worth 10 times the cost of a flight and a hotel and meals for 4 days for 12, you know, young ladies that are now on their way in their career in mortgage banking. If you add up the cost of that, David, you could time the opportunity and the growth that those young people obtain in those 4 days. It's worth 10 times the investment. You can't put a price tag on it.
Yeah, it's an ROI, a return on investment that's almost incalculable. And I applaud you for it. Let's go, as we wrap up this podcast, tell me one or two really good success stories as a result of your nurturing. Do you have examples that come to mind of that you could talk about, names of individuals within your organization? Or you don't have to mention the name if they'd be embarrassed, but talk about one or two examples.
So I have two of them. The first one is a young lady by the name of Ashley Rivera, and she's been with the company now. She's been out of college 3 years, and you'll laugh at this, but when we wanted to start the intern program, Al Blank and I, it took us about a year to figure out that young people, if they saw Al Blank and I going to campus to recruit, that it would scare the hell out of people because they thought it was the attack of their grandfathers. Well, it took us.
That's so true. It's so funny.
Here's the attack of their grandfathers.
The attack of our grandfathers.
Right. And so it took us.
I don't think we look that old. We're not that much relics, but I can get that. That's so true. So funny. So how did
the problem? We were excited to be there and talk to young people. I didn't see the problem. Well, we hired this young lady as a young person into our industry, and we realized that she had the passion and the skill set to be a recruiter. And so we said, Ashley, we want you to develop an intern program for us. Well, in 3 years, this young lady has developed a wonderful relationship with 19 universities.
Wow.
We had 60, she's amazing. We had 63 wonderful interns out of about 250 resumes. And in Northeast Ohio, in Cleveland, for large companies, just 3 years from the start, from the Greater Cleveland Partnership, and this is companies like Eaton Corporation and SwageLock and KeyBank and all the major corporations in Cleveland, just this past 90 days, we won the best intern program in the city of Cleveland. And
wow.
It's all
congratulations
from a young and this young lady is just a wonderful, wonderful young person, and she has passion for it. So that's one example. Ashley Rivera is one example of someone that, you know, the sky is the limit for this young lady at Union Home Mortgage and what she's done.
That's so
the second
Give,
one is
tell
Christine.
Ashley, I'd love to meet Ashley. Is she going to be in D.C.?
There.
Oh, good. I would love to get her interview. We're going to be doing interviews at
Absolutely.
The Empower event, so I'd love to have her there. Ashley Rivera, I'm writing down her name. I'll expect to see her at the
Do
booth.
It.
We'll have her. We'll celebrate that success. Great. What's another example?
Another example is a young lady by the name of Christina Fagan. And Christina is the executive director of the Union Home Foundation. And as we were launching, David, the foundation 3 years ago, I realized that either myself or a mortgage banking executive or person, you needed someone that really understood foundations, understood fundraising and all the above. And Christina Fagan was fundraising for Baldwin Wallace University, which is a small private school in Northeast Ohio, doing a wonderful, wonderful job. I believe she's 28, 29 years old, just really entering, you know, the prime of her career. And we recruited her to Union National, Union Home, to start the Union Home Foundation and be the executive director. And she's come to the company and has done a wonderful, wonderful job. And now as we bring interns in, Christina is one of the mentors of these young ladies and gentlemen. And so when you have, and you know, for every, you know, story of Ashley Rivera, there's 10 other young ladies behind it we have in the organization. For Christina Fagan, there's 10 other young ladies behind that with a different story, but the same. And at the end of the day, if you're going to build a mortgage banking company, an independent mortgage banking company, and thrive, you need that type of young talent and young mind to really guide you as to where the consumer of tomorrow, what their needs and desires and wants are. So it really is just a wonderful thing. And it's all really, you know, Empower is a big part of it, and also our intern program. And I think I've talked to a lot of CEOs of IMBs about committing to an intern program. It'll pay off in spades, really, for your organization.
You have two give back programs that are really significant. First of all, your intern program, but also the Union Home Foundation. I want to bring you back as we get closer to Thanksgiving. I want to bring you back to talk about the Union Home Foundation, because it is so important that we give back to our communities. And you just had a gala event here recently at your company, and you handed out money from the foundation to these charities that you're supporting, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, we did. We just recently gave out $100,000 from the foundation. And today, again, is an independent mortgage banking company. And there's many of my colleagues, many of my competitors that you know, gosh, Chris George, the CMG Foundation.
Oh, yeah, Chris does a great job.
Chris does a wonderful job. You know, I know Casey Crawford does. There's many, yes, many foundations, IMBs, that I'm really, in that sense, proud of, that do a wonderful, wonderful job. But I think at the end of the day, you know, what we do, we're blessed to do what we do in mortgage banking and providing, you know, responsible home ownership for folks. But as we grow our businesses and we grow as humans and in my case, in your case, and others, you know, you grow as Christians, you realize, yes, that there's a higher calling. And it's a calling that most of your employees have as well. And for those that have that calling, it's a wonderful, wonderful vehicle to make a difference. And I think it helps the culture of your company as well. So I'd love to talk to you about that if you'd like.
I want to. We will definitely schedule that. We're blessed to have you here today and blessed to have you do what you're doing as in the leadership that you're bringing to our industry. I tell you, Bill, because of leaders like yourself in our industry, what Chris George is doing and others, I am so bullish about the housing finance system here in America. And I'm just grateful that you took time out of your busy day today to join me so we could record this and share it with our listeners. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for all you're doing in your company and across the industry. And thank you for being here today, my friend.
Thank you, David. You provide a wonderful, wonderful service to the industry in these type of communications and podcasts. I listen to others. I listen to my colleagues and others, and we learn from each other. And in this marketplace, gosh, we know the next couple of years are going to be tough times. You know, we've got to stick together and do the right thing, and you know, help our customers and help our employees get through what will be difficult times. And it's you know, things that you provide as well to us that truly is a blessing that helps us get through the rain so we can see the rainbow, brother. So thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm honored by our friendship. I'm honored to know you. And I encourage you, our listeners, to get to know Bill. He will be at the annual conference. And if you have women in your organization that you want to inspire and empower to do much better, excel in your organization, make sure they get to this event. Bill, thanks so much. Have a great rest of your day. And thank you for joining us, friend.
Thank you, sir.
That was a great interview, and I'm so glad for Bill taking the time to be here with us. Be sure to check out the Empower event in Washington, D.C. We'll be there with our booth, our podcast booth, and be set up and be interviewing people. We're not going to be in the main session because we want to make sure we respect the confidentiality and the privacy of the many that are sharing deeply from their heart, but we'll be outside the hall, and I'll be inside and outside going back and forth but recording interviews outside. So it's good to have you with us today. Appreciate it. Come back here next week. We've got Bob Brooksbit, who is the new incoming president of the MBA. Very excited, president and CEO of the MBA. So come be certain to, I'm sure to listen to the interview we recorded with Bob Brooksbit. That's very exciting, very encouraging, very, very encouraging. Another reason to be bullish about our housing market and the mortgage industry. Special thank you again to our sponsors, Arch MI, Black Knight, Motivity Solutions, Open Mortgage, the MBA, Predictive
and Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Velma, Knowledge Coop, Card Tap, and Vidyard. Thank you to all of you all for being here with us. Have a great week, everybody, and looking forward to seeing you in Washington, D.C. at the National Mortgage Banking Conference put on by the MBA. Have a great week. See you there.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.